What a joy it is to be here this morning and just to, come back up and spend some time with Pastor Stewart. We have known each other for a long time. We've served in the same church up at Open Door Baptist Church in different areas, and just a blessing to be here with you folks this morning. Amen. Before we get going, I would like to take a moment and just stop and thank all of you tomorrow, Monday morning. Men and women, and maybe some young people, you're going to get up and you're going to go back into the daily grind. And I want to thank you for taking that upon your shoulders. It's the faithfulness of our working people in our churches that allow churches to even exist, and for missionaries to go to the field. And very grateful for your sacrifice and your faithfulness in giving to support this local church that in turn supports missions. And that's a blessing, and we don't take it lightly. You know, when we came home from Mexico, I had to go get a job. Not like I didn't have one, but I had one. But they don't pay missionaries up here too much. So you have to kind of be on a foreign field to get the money. So anyway, when I came home, I went to labor ready. I didn't know what else to do, right? And started working night shifts at these places. And, I'll tell you what, I gained a whole new appreciation, of what a lot of you face all week long, surrounded by people that don't love the Lord, that, don't have any use for the gospel, and they're just reprobate and they don't know any better. But you have to sit there and work with that 8, 9 hours a day, all day. And it takes a toll on us, you know. And so after, I'm glad that Pastor Shanks put me on staff there quick, because I got, you get up and you go to work in the morning to an office where everybody loves the Lord. You know, I mean, and I only got to drive like a mile and a half and I'm at work. And, go to an office where everybody says, let's look at the Bible this morning. That's great, right? That's how you start your day with your work fellows, And then, hey, you want to go get some lunch? Yeah, let's go get some lunch. And before we eat, we pray, right? So you're just surrounded by Christians. And in the ministry, sometimes we get just a bubble around us, because it's about all, I don't really have any unsaved friends. I don't work with unsaved people. Amen? And you do. And so I just want to let you know that we're aware of it. We appreciate it very much. We're very grateful for your weekly sacrifice. Pastor mentioned prayer cards, and we do have some. We got some new ones, so there's no more kids on them. It's just Liz and I now. And we thought it'd be easier, right? But now, we have to do all the work. Before I had them kids, they would do all the work and, set all the stuff up and clean out the car and all that. Now we have to do it all. Anyway, there's some out on that back table. Please take as many as you like. I got a whole bunch of them, and going back to Mexico, and we're really excited about it. And thinking about this prayer card, I've been in the ministry since 1999, full-time ministry, 98 when we went out on deputation. So I've been around a little bit, started some churches and in Mexico and worked at some churches up here. And these prayer cards are sort of like a unique thing to missionaries. They show up in your church and they always say, hey, don't forget to get one of these. And if they got kids and they're smart, they'll send the kids all through the pews and give everybody one, right? Because nobody can tell the little kid no, right? And most of us will stand back at our table, and as you walk by and shake our hand, did you get a prayer card? Did you get a prayer card? Did you get a prayer card? And all the years that I've been doing this, we've got a kind of a collection of our own. I think we've changed ours about 6, 7 times over the years. And so we have one from every stage of our ministry. And, oh, I remember that. I've never had a pastor hand me one of these. It's like a unique thing to a missionary. Isn't that truth? I mean, once in a while, I've met several evangelists over the years, and I can't think of any of them that handed me one of these. I've seen some singing groups come into the church and they never left no stack of prayer cards. It's just like a unique thing to missions. Missionaries have prayer cards and it's to raise awareness, but it's, hopefully you'll take it and you'll put it in your book, your Bible, or I don't know, if you spend more time at the fridge, then put it up there on a magnet. I mean, as long as you see me every day, and it reminds you to pray for us. Because nothing of any lasting value will ever be done without the prayers of the saints. I mean, you do understand that Liz and I have the wherewithal and the knowledge and the ability to go down to Mexico and implement certain programs and see results. But that doesn't mean the Lord's in any of it. We need your prayers. Amen. We need the foundation of prayer. Or otherwise it'd just be the flesh and us building the house, and then eventually it'll labor in vain. You know, so you get a prayer card. Thinking about praying for the missionary, look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to share a few verses with you here. Praying for the missionary. Paul, in this text, gives us two very specific requests that we can pray on behalf of missionaries. You can pray for any Christian workers. You ought to pray this for all of the Lord's people, but it's specifically in mind. You speak about prayer, and I remember being in a missions conference just last year. It was sort of an impromptu thing. I was still on staff, kind of an odd situation where I was asked to go and speak at a missions conference, and I said, well, let me check with my boss. And I went and asked Pastor Shanks, you know, if I could go up to this missions conference, and he was sitting there with the host pastor having lunch. And he says, yeah, I know all about it. And I'm the one that suggested you should go. You know, so we went up there. Now, and one of the fellows there preaching at that conference, he preached about praying for missionaries. Now, remember the question he asked, do you know how to pray for your missionaries? And I know we get letters and we send letters. And sometimes there's specific things that are going on that are particular to that ministry at that moment. And you pray for this need and this health situation, things like that, maybe for this soul and this person that they've been working with, and those are things that we specifically pray for, but those are particular to that man's ministry. You know, here Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice in verse 1, he gives very specific things that'll apply to any missionary you know. He says, finally, brethren, in verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, and who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting of Christ. Father, this morning, the truth is that we are a needy people. We need to hear from you. We need to remove all the hindrances that might stop your word from having free course even now this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you'd put ears on our souls that we might hear what the Spirit would have to say to us this morning. And I pray, dear God, that you give me just that little measure of ability, just a little bit more ability to be able to share your word in a way that makes sense, that will cause these people to get the understanding of the reading. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here Paul, he says, there's a couple of very specific things that you can pray on behalf of me as I work for the Lord. And if I was to sum up this passage, I would say it like this. I would say, Paul is asking us to pray that the word of the Lord would spread, that it would spread, and that his people, as they are relying upon his faithfulness, they would stand firm in the spiritual battle. I think that's the gist of what he's trying to say. He says, listen, pray that the word of God would spread, that the word of God would have free course, that it would be able to move from point A to point B and accomplish that which God purposes along that travel, along that journey. And he says, and while we're doing that, that we as God's people would find strength in God's faithfulness, because God is faithful. He says not everyone has faith. He says there are wicked and men that it hinder the work of God's word in our hearts and in our communities. And he says what we need to do is understand there's a spiritual battle going on. So the first thing that he asks for, number one, is that the word of God would have free course. that the Word of God would have free course. And I think about that phrase, free course, and it brings up the idea of be unhindered, to have liberty of movement, to be without obstacle. Another idea that comes to my mind when I read that, aside from all the liberty that the Word of God needs in order to accomplish that which God desires to do, is that it would be received. I think that idea is part of it as well, that it would be received, that there would be receptivity on our part as it's preached. And we'll look at that in a minute. But God, what God has done, God has chosen preaching for the main vehicle from the transference of the Word of God out of His mouth into the heart of men. So God has chosen this vehicle, this activity that we call preaching, this peculiar event that we're involved in right now this morning. Some guy standing up here and just talking, you know, to a crowd of people. And they're all here willingly looking forward to hear what he's got to say. And it's called preaching. And God, now that doesn't negate the fact that God can use other vehicles, but God says my primary vehicle of transference is preaching. Now that doesn't mean God won't use the drama at Christmas time. And he can't use the choir singing and maybe the kids and their little play and their little nativity scene. God can use those things, you understand? But God says, I have chosen preaching over all of that. Over all of that, that you may do, and there's nothing wrong with it, don't misunderstand me, but I have chosen preaching to be the main vehicle or the main thing behind that moves the Word of God from my mouth to the heart of men. Look at me in Isaiah 55, if you would. Now see, when you think about God's Word, it has purpose, and it has a targeted audience, and it has a desired effect. There are certain things that God is seeking to accomplish as the Word of God is preached, as the Word of God is shared, as the gospel is moving forward. Isaiah 55 and verse 10, and for some of you this might be somewhat of a familiar passage. It says, for as the rain cometh down, Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain cometh down, and I'm noticing that the snow from heaven right now out that window, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. God says, listen, there's a system that I have designed. And I don't remember the word that they gave us back in elementary school when they taught us about this, but they said what happens is the ocean, the moisture from the ocean is drawn up into the clouds, right? We all know this, right? I'm not teaching anything you don't know. And those clouds are carried inland many times. And as they come and they build up and they bump into each other and they cause all that friction, eventually it gets so heavy with that moisture that it rains. And all of us have probably seen rain clouds at a distance and just watching that sheet of rain come down, you know, and just watching it. And that's raining. I mean, I was a roofer in Seattle. I was up there roofing in Seattle and we used to look at it and say, brethren, the wind's with it. You better get with this, man, and start buttoning this thing up, you know. You could see the rain coming. You could see it falling from the sky. Right now, snow is falling. And he says what happens is that snow that falls, eventually, what's it do? It melts. And then it finds its way into the little gutters and the crooks and the creeks and then eventually to the rivers and back out to the Columbia. And then that Columbia takes it out to the ocean and just does it again. Alright, that's what he says. And he says, but the purpose behind all that, he says in verse 10, is so that it'll give seed to the sower. And as a good Baptist, that's a place to say amen, because we get to eat, because God does that. Amen. We get to eat. Alright, he says, and then what happens is we have bread, because of what's fallen outside right now. Eventually, I'm going to have bread on my table through this process. And I'm blessed because of that. God says, that's my purpose in that. My purpose in that is distinctly so that you and I can be fed through the crops that are grown as they're watered and irrigated. And God provided all that. Isn't that neat? Now look at the next verse. He says, so shall. Now you ought to underline those two words. So shall. Because that means in like manner. Just like I have a purpose behind what you're watching right now, and eventually it comes right to your table, and you are blessed by it, my word also has very specific purposes behind it. And just like this is a system that is self-perpetuated, you understand, it doesn't need any help from men. Rain falls because God made it that way. And snow falls because God did that. And men can't meddle with that. They can't alter. They can't do anything about it, whether they like it or not. I don't like the fact today that it's snowing here. Amen? But there's nothing I can do about it. God has chosen to let the snow fall. So I'm going to try to skedaddle out of here and get ahead of those passes. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I'm going to try. Amen? And so this is what he says. Just like that has this design. Just like that has this purpose. Just like that is going to benefit you. This is the same way. My word is like that. My word's like that. He says here in verse 11, he says, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He sent that snow today. He also sent his word. He sends the word out into the world. And there's different purposes. This morning, I think a greater part of his purpose for his word this morning here in this congregation is that we might be edified. It's for our edification this morning. And other times it's for the evangelization of the lost. And other times it has different purposes at different times. And God determines all that. But here's the neat thing about it. Just like that is an enclosed system, so is the gospel. It doesn't need any help from men to make it work. You understand? Men can't get in and meddle with it. If they do, then it gets corrupted. But you think about all the countries where there's churches all over the world. And the gospel, how did it get there? It got there because a man brought it there. The gospel's never been anywhere except where a man brought it there. Gospel does not just mystically float through the air on its own. It's carried there by men in their hearts because it was transferred from God's mouth into their heart. And it brought forth life eternal. And then how many of you were saved just because you woke up someday and said, I'm saved? Well, none of you. You heard the gospel, and then you received the gospel, and the gospel got into your heart, and it brought forth eternal life. And you know what? You probably were brought to the Lord by somebody or some instrument of the gospel that a man was involved behind it. I got saved listening to the radio. So people get saved because someone handed them a tract. People get saved because they got brought to church and heard the gospel. But you understand? Somewhere, all of that, it was God's purpose behind all of that. And his word transfers from person to person that way, once it's in the heart of someone. So this thing is self-perpetuated as well, the gospel. And going back to 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul says, would you pray with me that this entire idea that we're thinking about, which is not just the gospel, but that the word of God and the purposes that the Lord has behind it, that it would have free course, that it would be unhindered, that it would be without obstacle, that it would be received by those that hear it. You remember in Matthew 13, you need not go there, but in Matthew 13, Jesus gives a parable of the sower and the seed. And he says, the sower went out and he sowed the seed. And then later on, the 12 said, well, give us the gist of this parable. Tell us what this is about. And he began to tell them, but you know, he started out by saying, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. That's what he said. You need to get a hold of the components of this. And he says, the seed is the word of God. You remember that? Yeah. And then he says, when the sower went out to sow it, obviously the sower is the preacher. Or the event, or someone who's, it could be the soul. You can make any type of application you want, but it's someone who is sharing the word of God with others. And he says, that seed, which is the word of God, some of it fell where? It fell on the wayside. And he says, some of it, as that man sowed or that person was sharing the gospel, it fell amongst the stony places. And he says, some of it fell amongst thorns. And he says, other of it yet fell upon good soil, and it brought forth life. And so what Jesus does, he said, these represent different hearts of men, different conditions of their heart. Different attitudes that they have. And at any one time in our life, we probably have displayed all four of those in our own lives. It's not like this is the hard heart that can't receive the word of God. And that's just the way it is. It's not to say that that hardened heart can't later on become softer. It's just saying this is what happens when the word of God falls on the wayside. Now, I don't know if you understand a lot about agriculture, but in Mexico, we have a lot of rural area where we are. In fact, the Yucatan Peninsula, if you had to compare it, The Yucatan Peninsula is to Mexico what North and South Dakota are to America. It's very rural. It's just very sparsely populated. It's three states there. And it takes you 5 hours to drive from any one point of the triangle to the other. All right. It's not a very big place. There's three states. But you know, in those three states, there's anywhere between 8 and 10 million people live down there. Only one city has 1.5 million. That's where we're going back. The next biggest city has about 1 million. And then the next biggest city has maybe 500,000. So you got 1.5 and 1.5. You got, how much is that? Help me out. 3. Well, you got another 7 million people living out in the country. And so your ministry is very rural there. All right. You're out in villages and some of those pictures you saw, those are villages with 300-400 people. They're like Ridgeview. Right? They're like right here. No one lives here except a couple people. You understand? And you go out and here you are with a church. Got almost as many people as live out in this place, here in this church this morning, right? And what a blessing. Hey, what a blessing. So what he's saying is that the wayside, down there, the rural area, they do a lot of hand farming. They don't have modern implements to farm with, and they'll have a plot of land maybe about this big, and it's called a milpa in Spanish, and it's just a little plot of land that belongs to this family, and they may have more, but this is the size that they'll develop, because this is manageable for them as a family. And they'll clear the land, and they'll clear the rocks, and they'll pull the trees, and they'll level it as best they can, and they'll get out there by hand with hose and make the furrows to sow the seed. And it's a family affair. And as they sow that seed in those furrows, a little while goes by and it starts coming up out of the ground, and then next thing you know, you got stalks of corn about this tall, and then they'll go out there and they'll take care of it. They'll make sure there's no bugs on it and those kinds of things. They'll tend to their crop. And as they walk between the aisles of corn or the barley or whatever it is that they're growing, that becomes compacted where they're walking between the rows of corn. You understand? And then any seed that falls on top of it, it's just so hard it never gets in there. And the fowls of the air, Jesus says, comes along and takes that from the wayside. That's the wayside. That's what that is. That's where men, and he compares that to hardened heart. It's just so hard that there was no penetration of the Word of God. And so there the Word of God had no free course. There was no free course for the Word of God. The condition of that person's heart prohibited the Word of God from getting in there and making any effect at all. He says some of it fell among the stony places. You remember that? And that, he says, it's a heart that's unwilling to endure hardness. Now notice he says in Matthew 13, he says, yet hath he not root in himself, talking about the stony place, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He's not offended because a brother didn't shake his hand, although that might happen. He's not mad because somebody took his parking spot, although that might happen. But he's mad at what the preacher said. And that happens in our churches all the time. People getting their nose bent out of joint because of something that was said that's biblical, but it went across your grain. Amen, amen, amen. And he got up here and preached against your pet sin. You didn't like it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then they get up and walk out. Well, that preacher thinks he knows this and that and this and that. The issue isn't the preacher. The issue isn't the word. The issue is that person was unwilling to endure hardness, and therefore the Word of God had no free course there to do what God wanted it to do. And so then it's hindered from fulfilling what God's purpose was. God's purpose was that he would chip that away from you and make you more like Christ. But we were unwilling. We put up the stop signs and the alarm bells and threw a fit and walked out and threw a grenade through the door as we walked out. Amen. And that happens all the time, especially in Bible preaching churches where a preacher gets up and says, hey, this is what God says. And if you don't agree with that, guess what? You're wrong. It's not. And we don't like that. We don't like that. And so he says this isn't tribulation that arises just because of personality conflicts. This is because of the word, he says. It's the word of God that did not have free course. And he says there's some that falls amongst the thorns. And he talks about that, and he says this is hindered by the cares of the world. This is guys that, you know, have this covetous heart and they're distracted by the world's riches and work and the cares and deceitfulness of riches of this world, Jesus says. And some guys, you know, and I know a few here and there that got so busy earning money that they just left the things of the Lord behind. And then they just stopped coming to church and that's it. And little by little, they started up here in the front row. And they loved it when the preacher spit on them. And then next, by and by, they're back there. By and by, you guys in the back row, you better watch out. Because you're close to the door, you know. Last ones to come, first ones to leave. And that's what happens. And you guys know what I'm talking about. We've seen it. We've been around the church culture long enough. We've seen it. We've seen it. And Jesus says, listen, this is the idea. The idea is that these are some of the instances that occur in the lives of us. And I don't know why this person's heart was hardened. There's reasons that he has for it. There's things that have happened in his life unto him, unto his family. Perhaps he feels that God has been unjust with him. There's all kinds of things. But whatever reason, the result is that the heart is hard. And the heart can't be penetrated with the Word of God at that moment in their life. Now we know that God's Word is like a hammer. And we know it'll break the hardest of hearts. We know that. You understand? Jesus isn't describing a situation that is without hope. He's just trying to get you to understand these are some of the things that if you and I aren't careful, these can enter into our very lives and hinder the Word of God from having free course in us. And when we get to that place, that's a dangerous place to be, when the Word of God has no effect on us. When we can hear the Word of God preached and walk out those doors as though nothing would happened. You know, back in Jesus' time, the Jews would enter into the temple for worship, and they may come in on the east doors, but they would always leave out another door. So that they would say, at the very least, I left changed. And unfortunately, many of us, we come in and leave just like we came in. No difference. No difference. And it's the Word of God is trying to do something in our lives. God said, so shall my Word. My Word has purpose. I desire to see you change. I desire to build you up. I desire to shape you in this way. I desire to make you more like Christ. And the vehicle that I have decided to use to do that is this book. Amen. This is the agent of change. This is the vehicle that I have determined to use to bring this, my Word to you. And this is what I desire for you. And it could, and for all of us, it's a different purpose that God has, which you understand? I don't understand how marvelous and miraculous it could be that one message, one passage preached with one focus from my point of view can actually have a myriad of effects in the hearts of so many different people, but the same verse. And talk to so many people differently, in a different way. And only God can do that. Amen. Only God's Word can do that. Amen. And he says, this is my desire for you. I remember when I was in homiletics, and that's a class they taught you how to preach. And I don't know if any of us ever gonna get there, you know what I mean? But some can preach and some like me can't. We just kinda, you know, bluff our way through and know some Bible and try to help you with it. But, I remember some of the things they taught us in there. And I was taught by Pastor Ken Blue and his homiletics class. And I remember he said, there's three things, principal things that you want to remember that preaching should do. And one of the first things that he said, most important thing is that you increase knowledge of the people that are listening. That you increase their knowledge. And so an hour ago we sat here and I shared some things with you just as the Lord just kind of been sharing with me. And I think our knowledge was increased here about some things. Those of you that were here the first hour, you said, wow, I never thought of it like that. I never saw it that way. And you know what? I need to change in that area. I need to make sure that my perspective gets in alignment with the Word of God. Amen. And so our knowledge was increased about some things in the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, you need not go there, but in the book of Nehemiah, it says this. It says, so they read in the book of the law distinctly. I like that. They read in the word of the law distinctly. So they didn't just haphazardly open it. I think they went through it systematically. And they were reading line upon line. And when they left off here, the next time they all got together, they just started right there again. They did it distinctly. And it says this. It says, and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. Cause them to understand the reading. One of my challenges today is to help you understand the reading. And Paul is talking about, listen, pray with me, brethren, that the Word of God would have free course. And then so I think, well, this over here is applicable to this. And we'll look at this, and these are some of the things that might hinder the Word of God from having free course. And then me, I can sit there and think about that. And I think about it in my own life, because the second thing that I should do as I'm preaching the Word of God is to move the emotions to in some degree. And you say, oh, I don't know about that, preacher. We don't want to get all touchy-feely. We're Baptists, you know, and we're not going to get all, you know, goose-bumpy and all that kind of stuff. That's for them, those Pentecostals down the road. That ain't for us, right? We want the facts. Well, I just gave you a bunch of facts. What are you going to do with them? You know, if your heart's never moved, you're never going to do anything about it. Your heart has to be moved. And you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the parables that he shared. He talked about that lost sheep. Remember that? And he talked about the lost coin. You remember that? He talked about the prodigal son. And here's what happened as he was instructing those people with those things. They would think about that, and they made an emotional investment in what he was talking about. They made an emotional investment. They sensed the need for forgiveness from the Father to the Son. And when he called for the fatted calf, they rejoiced with him. You understand? They were caught up. They wanted to know if that woman ever found that coin. What happened to that coin? Right? And when the sheep came back to its flock, they were glad. They understood that there's restoration. You understand that the parables were far more than just a nice little story. They pulled people into the imagery. And they made emotional investments in what he was talking about. And they were invested in it. And then what happened is it incited the will into action. It's one thing to talk about something, but it's another thing to do it. James put it this way. He said, be not ye hearers of the word only, but be ye what? We all know that. So the idea is that as you hear the word of God and you receive the information that God has for you today, and you become emotionally invested in it, the idea is that you would make a decision based upon that. And that you would make a decision that would change your life in a certain way. The application of knowledge, not the mere understanding of it, that results in changed lives. It's the application of knowledge. It's what are you going to do with the information that you receive today? What are you going to do? How's it going to change your life? How's it going to make you see things differently? Look with me in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18, 1, and it says there, it says, Jesus, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then if you're familiar with the passage, he talks about this just judge, an unjust judge, and this woman who just wouldn't leave him alone, and she just went after him and after him and after him. Finally, he said, I'm just going to concede to this woman unless she wear me out, right? And then here's the thing. Look at me in verse 1 again. And he spake a parable unto them. What's those next three words say? To this end. This is the entire purpose of what this parable is about. Now we can come in and try to come up with different interpretations, but Jesus Christ limited it to this. He said, to this end, for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The desire that Jesus Christ had as he shared this parable with those people that were listening is that they would not faint when they pray, that they wouldn't give up, that they would remain steadfast and firm in their prayer life. He said, to this end. This is the reason I'm sharing this story with you, so that you'd walk away from here with a changed perspective about how not to give up when you pray. Just keep on praying. I think we prayed for my mom for over 10 years. 10 years before I ever finally got to share the gospel with her, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And it started from this with my mom. My little son Richard, this big, we're down there visiting, and he says, I'm praying for you, Granny. And she said, oh, how sweet. What are you praying for Grandma for? That you don't die and go to hell. You know? Now, I don't mean to be, you know, flippant about it, but that's what we prayed for. And he was there on his knees next to us. Well, we were up there in Linwood living at night. He'd come in there next to us on our bed, and we pray. We pray for the salvation of my mother. And years went by. And years went by. And we didn't stop praying. And then in 1999, right before we went down to Mexico, on New Year's Eve. No, I'm not taking that. New Year's Eve. I was going to say Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve. She got down on the side of her bed, weeping and crying, and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save her. That men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Amen. The Lord's listening. Maybe he's doing other things, but he's certainly lying to God that's sleeping as Elijah mocked those Baalites, right? And so we think about these things, and Paul is basically saying, pray for me as I preach the word of God and as others preach the word of God, that it would be free from all those things that hinder the purposes of God from being fulfilled. Paul's seeking an opportunity for the word of God as well. On our prayer cards, it says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So Paul's taking it a little bit further. He's looking for these opportunities. Now here's what I don't think we stop and think about too often. A missionary goes off to a foreign field and he gets to a place and he begins to minister and he begins to implement methods and programs and things that he has learned. And you know what? There's no guarantee that just because he's there preaching the gospel that there will be hearts that will receive it. And I don't think we see it that way often enough. You know, we were in Chetumal and we were serving there for about 8 years in that city. And it's hard fast to Belize. It's actually a free zone between the two. And Belize is right there. And we had a guy go out and went over to Belize, and there's a Spanish speaking population there in a place called Orange Walk Town. And he went over there and he's working away and working away. And you know, it really was not getting very, very far in the work. It didn't seem like he was making any advancements. And the Lord laid on my heart to put together a group out of our church and go over there and spend a day helping him. Canvassing, knocking on doors, do whatever we could do to encourage this brother. And, you know, I remember going over to the border and I got permission, day passes for like 30 people that had never even been out of Mexico. And we did it all without passports and got permission to go over there. And we went down there and Frankie was waiting for us and he assigned us to our areas. And I went out with a couple of guys and we went down some street and I remember the houses were far apart, very rural there. And we get up to a door and you get up and the door's open and the guy's laying in there on the couch and he's watching TV and here we are. And we don't have suit and ties on, but it's obviously we're some type of religious people. Amen. You just get that sense of us knocking at the door like that, you know. And he just looked over at us from the couch, kind of look you up and down, didn't even greet you and just turned away and just kept on watching TV. And that happened door after door after door. Walk up to a group of men and, nah, preacher man, we don't want your stuff, man. We don't want it. Go, 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 go. We don't want it. And you just, and you know, 4 or 5 hours later, we all come back to where we were supposed to meet. And I had not shared the gospel with one person that day. And it wasn't for lack of trying. And that day, my efforts to see the word of God advance were thwarted by some of these conditions that we talked about. But the word of God had no free course there that day. None. And that happens often. And the missionaries never tell you about that. There's lots of times where we had zero saved that Sunday. Right? And then nothing happened this month. You understand? The word of God has to have free course. And what Paul is praying is that he's asking you to pray for those workers, not that when they preach the gospel or have an opportunity so much to preach the gospel, but the gospel as it's preached, that those obstacles would be removed. Lord, remove those hindrances so that your word would have free course and that there'd be folks that respond to it. And whatever it is that's hindering the word of God from doing that which you desire, that you would remove those things. And I pray that a lot now. I didn't always pray that way. I pray that a lot now for missionaries. I'm praying for Joe Merlo the other day because I've run into his newsletter in the last couple of churches. And I've met Joe personally. And I really like him. He's a good guy. And I pray for him, Brother Merlo in Chile. That in Sunday when he gets up and preaches that your word will fall on good soil. That there'd be good soil there. and it would be receptive to the Word of God, and it would make those changes in those lives of those people that they need to have. Amen. Not just that he has an opportunity to preach. Just because I can preach doesn't mean that anything's going to happen. Amen. The Holy Spirit has got to do those things. So he's asking for prayer that the Word of God would have free course, that these obstacles would be removed so that the Word of God would have free course and do that which God designs for it to do. Second thing he says in 2 Thessalonians 1, the second specific thing that he asked for, look at me in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Word of the Lord may have free course. And it says, and be glorified. Now notice what he says, even as it is with you. Even as it is with you. For here's the idea. The key is that while Paul preached the Word of God amongst the Thessalonians, they had received the Word of God. And that's what made all the difference. Look at me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We doing okay? We're doing okay so far. All right. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And notice this is what makes the difference. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, and we say amen. And a lot of us stop right there as Bible believers and King James Bible believers, and we say, listen, this is the word of God. This is the very word of God right here. But I want you to notice that comma, because what Paul is focusing is on results of that. He says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He says, you heard the word of God preached, and your hearts were so prepared that you received it. And what happened is it worked in you. It fulfilled that purpose that God had desired for you on that day. And this is the marvel of it all. That the Word of God would have the same effect in others as it does in the Thessalonians. That's what he's praying. In other words, how many of you think here at God's Word Baptist Church that, I mean, this is a church people ought to come to? You think so? How many of you in agreement with that? How many of you think if other people knew what we're getting here on a regular basis, they'd be happy to have it? How many of you think this is worthwhile experience, this church? A worthwhile effort, this church. Amen? All right, so what Paul is saying, he's saying, I'm over here in Corinth, and I'm working amongst these Corinthians, because that's where he wrote this letter from to the Thessalonians, I'm sorry. In Spanish, it's Thessalonicas. You know, it's that. Anyway, he goes over here, and he says, I'm working amongst these Corinthians, and if you know anything about the books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you understand there's a lot of issues in there. And that this group wasn't the most spiritual group that he was working amongst. And they had all kinds of carnal issues involved. And they were rebellious in their hearts. And they weren't submitting to Paul's authority. They questioned his authority. Not only that, they had some issues going along amongst the congregation. And involved in some behavior that was wicked. Even had to put somebody out of that church. You remember all that stuff? All right, he's over here in Corinth, and he's laboring amongst these people, and he's probably facing some frustrations and just, you know, unrealized ambitions with these people. And so he writes this letter over to the Thessalonians, and he writes them, and he says, you know what would be really great? If you would pray. That's me. That's got to be the worst thing, right? He says, here's what's happening. As we're praying here, and working here in Corinth, I sure remember how good it went in Thessalonica. I remember how you people received the Word of God. And I remember how it changed your lives. And I remember what the fervor and the zeal and the love for the Lord and the love for His Word that you had over here, because you were persecuted and yet you prospered. You were under great tribulation, and yet you prospered and grew as a church spiritually. You became more Christ-like. And wouldn't it be great if what happened here would happen here? That's what he's asking. Wouldn't it be great that what happens here on Sunday would happen down in Mexico? Come on. Wouldn't that be great? We just take this and just kind of import it down there and just set it down there and take what we have here, which is good, and take it down there and implement the same things there so that there'd be a good Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, soul-winning church down there. That's the missions application. He says, wouldn't that be just great? And if you have part of that, isn't it great that you have a part of that with Brother Johnson over there in Africa? Isn't it great that what you're doing here, he's kind of doing the same thing over there? And you have a part with that. So even as it is with you, it's there. Amen? That's what he's talking about. And he says, would you pray that way? Would you pray that their works would advance, that their works would grow, that their people would be receptive to the Word of God? That the Word of God, as it has free course, would wrought effectual change in them that listen to it. Notice there in 1 Thessalonians 2 again, he says, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in ye that believe. The Word of God. Your attitude as you come here in the morning to receive the Word of God. And how is your heart prepared before you come? How many of us pray before we even get to church? Lord, today I need to hear from you. Today, Lord, I'm having these troubles, and I wish that you'd give me some counsel and direction from Pastor Stewart's message this morning. That you would use him to speak to me this morning. That just wouldn't be Brother Stewart up there, but it would be your word being preached to me. And then there's the other attitudes. There's all kinds of different things, but a lot of us, you know, we come to church and we already know so much that we can't learn anything more. Amen, amen. We already know so much Bible that there's just nothing more for us to be taught. And that's a sad thing a sad place to get to. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. My wife, she makes some of the best enchiladas you've ever had. I think. That's just my opinion, but you know. And here we come to the Word of God, and we've heard this verse, and we've heard that verse, and as soon as somebody reads the verse you've already heard, you just kind of tune out. And you think about how ridiculous that you think that you don't need to hear that verse again. It'd be just as ridiculous as me sitting down at the dinner table and she puts those wonderful enchiladas in front of me and say, oh, sweetheart, I already had those once. I don't need those again. I don't need any more enchiladas. I've already had them once. Are you kidding me? Bring them on. I want some more of them. I hope you make them again next week. Sometimes, you know, I haven't had those enchiladas in a while, sweetheart. What do you need? I'll go to the store and get it. Right? And here's the thing, you know, there's more than one thing that you can learn from any passage in here. In fact, there's a lifetime of information in just this one verse that we still will never get to the bottom of two. Amen? For the rest of our lives we could read that verse and still never get to the bottom of it. That's God's Word. It's infinite. And we come to church this morning and I don't know why, but God in His providence decided to expose you, God's Word Baptist Church, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's His providence that He did that. Amen. Wasn't my choosing. I'm just giving you what He told me to preach. You understand? And I didn't change up messages because your preacher got a text from some other pastor saying, oh, he preached this great message on this thing. And then Pastor Stewart says, well, we want to hear that message. Well, guess what? The Lord told me to preach this morning. And in His providence, He said, this is what I want this congregation to be exposed to. And I wonder how often we actually think like that when we come in. Or do we just gauge it by the style and the method of the preacher? This guy's better than that guy. You're never going to get anything out of the Word of God if that's how you look at it. Amen. You're never going to get anything out of it. These people in Thessalonica, how do you say it? Thessalonica, right? They received it not as the word of men. They had an attitude towards the preaching that said, give me some of that. I want to hear from God today. I need to hear from God today. And God, whatever you have put in this man's heart, I need to hear it this morning because it's for me. And I need to take it to heart and leave out of this place meditating on it. And don't allow these things to come and catch this word away from me until it does what you have purpose for it to do in me. And that's how we come to church, and that's how you're going to go out of here changed, when you come to church that way. Amen. And this is what he's saying. He said, he focused on the effectual working of the Word of God and its ability to do that which you and I cannot, and its ability to get into the heart of a man and a woman and change them from the inside out and make them different. And leave them with the fruits of the Spirit and teach them meekness and teach them tolerance and teach them patience. Things that I cannot impart to you, but the Word of God can. Amen? Amen. And he says, that's what makes all the difference. your attitude towards the preaching of God's word. And so often we come to church and we already walk through those doors and the word of God is not going to have free course in our heart that morning because we haven't even prepared the heart. Haven't even made it ready to receive the word of God.
Amen.
And we walk right out those doors just exactly as we came in. The same. And that's not the goal. God said, so shall my word that it complete the purpose that I have sent it to do. God says, if you walk out of here without having made any decision whatsoever in respect to what you've heard, in respect to the information that you received, in respect to the things that the Lord has prompted your heart to think about, if you decide to do nothing about those things, he says, my word was preached in vain. That's what he said. He says, I have a purpose for it. I don't want it to return to me void. I don't want it to have been preached and then in vain just fall on deaf ears and hardened hearts and stony places and thorny ground. I want it to fall on good ground.
Amen.
Well, we cultivate that ground in our heart. Amen? Pray for the workers that you support in foreign fields that the word of the Lord would have free course in their ministries. And that whatever they're doing there, that it would be, even as it is with us, it would be with them. Amen?
Amen.
That they would have the same achievements and mountain peaks and joy and experiences that we have in the ministry. All right? So those are a couple of thoughts from this passage and we're going to turn it over to Pastor Stewart and I don't know if we're going to have an invitation, but if we do, if the Lord has spoken to you in any way, the first hour, second hour, you know, let go of the pew. Get on your knees. And speak to the Lord. Right where you are. Come up here, whatever it takes. But whatever you do, don't leave this place the same. Don't walk out of here like nothing happened. Just another hour. Another day in the Lord's church and that was it. You know. Don't ever let this become just secondhand to us.
Amen.
This is special what we have.
Amen.
This is a privilege that we have.
Amen.
This is just God's grace. And we should always esteem it to be that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and love to us. And thank you, Father, for these thoughts that you've shared with us this morning. I pray now that in the closing moments of this service, Lord God, that you continue to speak to us, continue to prompt us to make the changes that we need to, Lord God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.